Certainly does, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The Run Home today with Joel and Sats. All thanks to Hyundai. The Hyundai Tucson Turbo Diesel is in stock now. And welcome our listeners. I tell you what, you're listening because I see the board here on the back of Katie Brown. It is charging. So we welcome you on this Friday, however you're listening. 1170 SEN in Sydney, 1620 SEN on the Gold Coast. And a special welcome to those on 693 SENQ, those on the SEN app, and those belatedly through the podcast. We had, just be careful on those podcasts and YouTube. We had a bloke yesterday, a young Dylan. He was watching the captain's run, Denon and Cameron Smith. He was watching them on YouTube, thinking it was live, rang through to us and wanted to speak to Cameron. I said, mate, he left about 4 hours ago. So just be careful.
He doesn't work overtime, Cameron.
No, just be careful with those podcasts. Remember, you lead the charge. Sats and I are here for the next 6 hours, so we want you to be part of the journey how long as you can. 1300 01 1170 is the way to have your say on the Ryco Fielders call line. You can also text 0457 736 736. Twitter at Joel Fletch SN. Did you see what we did with Ricardo Ball during the week? Sats, speaking about social media. So, and I did say this to Sock as well. We had Ricardo Ball, who was filling in for Kirsty when we did our crossover to New Zealand. And as Kirsty knows, that we generally just get some fodder from her social media, find out what she's been up to. And so Ricardo Ball, who was filling in for Kirsty, had been tipped off what we do. So he had posted a photo of Metallica with a mount, putting the middle finger up at us. And this says, this is for you, Joel and Fletch. So if we went searching for him, we would find that. Mm. So we did. So about 5 minutes before we crossed into him, right, because we did do the search and he was right, we got all our listeners, or as many as we could, to start inundating his Instagram thread
with
middle fingers or emojis.
Yep.
And, mate, it just...
Eggplants.
Yeah. It went in meltdown. So to our listeners, I thanked you yesterday, but we do appreciate that. 1300 01 1170 is the way to have your say. Look, it's Champion Bloke Day today. Bill Peden, the great Billy Peden, Sats.
One of the world's nicest guys, nicest guy, Cessnock Goanna.
He's a nightest guy too. He's a knight, isn't he?
He is.
Yes.
Yeah. And, as you said, dual premiership winner, two tries in the 2001 grand final against Parra. Not a noted try scorer.
No.
You go out with two in a grand final, outstanding. But, of course, he's involved in a much greater cause than his career. And it's one of my favourite rounds, I've got to say, listeners and Joel and Tommy and... is other than rep round last weekend, which I thought was phenomenal, and we'll get to that at another stage. My favourite week is Beanie for Brain Cancer, Mark Hughes Foundation, because not only is it a great cause and we raise so much great money, what is it, about $23 million
since
2014.
Yeah.
The beanie designs each year are outstanding.
Yep.
And we also celebrate and help and assist not only a dual-time premiership winner in Mark Hughes and a state of origin player, but top five greatest guys you'll ever meet off the field.
Oh, yeah. Champion, as Billy is too. Billy and Mark Hughes, absolute champion blokes. And he scored two tries in that grand final, which I think it's the most forgettable grand final, not because of the quality of the game. It was a great game, 30 points to 24. Parramatta had an early lead, and then Knights charged home. Other way around. Parramatta charged home. But the reason it's so forgettable is because that was the first night grand final.
It was too.
And everyone kept their barbecue time still at 12. So by the time kickoff came, people were needing subtitles to talk.
Snake hissed.
They were shinless. Absolutely shinless. So let alone the second half. 1300 01 1170 is the way to have your say. Shawnee Omrod, the coal miner, Andrew Swain, Chris Nelson, Brett Phillips. So it's a doyenathon coming up.
One of the biggest plays in the 2001 grand final. What was it?
Oh, I don't know.
Steve Simpson, tackle on... Andrew Ryan?
Yes.
No try, first half.
That's right.
Could have been a completely different scenario.
They dominated too, did that year, didn't they? Parramatta.
I remember talking, one of my closest mates, Clinton O'Brien, came off the bench. Both he and Glenn Greif used to come off the bench for Newcastle, won a comp in that night. And he tells me a story about the grand final breakfast that year. And he said, we all turned up and, we're pretty relaxed because Joey's relaxed and everyone's relaxed. And he said... And Parramatta looked like they'd played the game already.
Yeah.
And remember leaving the grand final breakfast and Joey laughing about how uptight they were and how stressed out they were. And they showed it in the first half.
But that demeanour, like you have someone like a Joey who's laughing and that. If you're a teammate of his, you just go, we're good. We're sweet. It'd make you feel so comfortable, wouldn't it? You mentioned Clinton O'Brien, forgotten grand final winners. Who are some of the others you reckon who just...
Well, Glenn Greif is another one.
Glenn Greif,
started at West.
Yeah.
Tremendous front rower. came off the bench because Matty Parsons and Josh Perry were the front rowers. Any other club, he probably starts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shane Perry.
Shane Perry.
2006, halfback for Darren Lockyer.
Halfback. Yeah. That's right. Let us know on the text line a forgotten grand final player. A player that you go, oh, he won a comp, did he? You totally forget, don't you? 1300 01 11 17. Last night, Manly Seagulls defeated Melbourne 36 points to 30. 36 points to 30. Did you see much of the game, Seth?
I did, saw it all.
Yeah? Mm. What'd you make of it?
Well, Melbourne were disappointing. I mean, Munster not playing. But lack of intent and physicality defensively, yeah, which is un-Melbourne-like. I mean, they've built their tradition, haven't they, on just being really physical and aggressive with their defence. Their attention to detail is better than anyone else in the competitions over a long period of time. But to see that first 60 to 65 minutes against Manly, they're getting beaten to the punch. Now, you've got to take your hat off to Manly. They play with a lot of energy.
Yeah.
A lot of energy. I thought Dylan Walker did a really good job for Manly last night as well. He's playing that sort of bits and pieces role. Daly Cherry-Evans answered from Origin only four nights before. Came out with a great performance.
Let me ask you this, right? Not just based on last night, but my young bloke said to me, he said, Dad, if Jerome Hughes was either Queenslander or New South Wales, would he make the squad?
Queensland, he would.
He'd make the squad?
I think he would, yeah, absolutely.
What in what position? Is he pushing Ben Hunt out or is he pushing Daly out? Or
I think based on his week-to-week form, he'd probably go toe-to-toe with Ben Hunt.
Yeah.
But in saying that, he'd just be your contingency plan and in relation to your future halfback with Daly Cherry-Evans at the back end of his career.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
What did you make about Tony Kemp? I mean, you spoke about this during the week.
Yeah, yeah.
We had a listener text in to Sports Day during the week on Tony Kemp's comment on SENZ saying that Pacifica players should be made available for Origin and New Zealand would beat any of the Origin sides, that New Zealand test side.
Yeah.
And we had to remind Kempy, who's one of our in our stables, we had to remind him that New Zealand have already played in a quasi-Origin series. It's Super League. It was called the Tri-Series.
Yeah.
Remember the Kiwis played in that
as well?
That's
right.
And one of our listeners texted in and said, you can tell Kempy's been on the hempy. It's the land of the long white cloud, and the cloud is coming from his chimney.
Is that right? I tell you what, though, I do believe it's maybe the best Kiwi side I've ever seen. Is it up there for you?
Well, we've got the best front row, one of the best front rows in the world at the moment, James Fisher-Harris. One of the best halfbacks in the comp. Absolutely.
It's got to be up there. And to be fair, they would push Queensland, they would push New South Wales. Would they beat them? We'll never know. But the population is similar to what you got in probably New South Wales to New Zealand. So,
what I'm happy for? I'm happy for Michael Maguire.
Oh, so am I.
Just, a horrendous, especially last 6 weeks.
Yep.
To be able to drop all that and say, I'm just going to focus on making New Zealand strong now, come out with a really good win against Tonga, go into the World Cup as favourites.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so some forgotten grand final winners. Now, this one here, I don't believe they are grand final winners. Graham Bradley, Adrian Brunker, and Ian Herron. I don't believe they may have played in a grand final. I don't believe they're grand final winners.
No, they lost 92, 93, 96.
Yeah. Harvey Howard in 2000 for Brisbane. Neil Tierney in 1996 for Manly. David from St. Ives. Did Tierney go from St. George
to Manly?
Manly,
he did.
He did, and got the cash.
I think he went in 95. They got beaten in 95 by Bulldogs, of course.
Yep.
Then 96, Manly won, and then they got beaten in 97, Newcastle.
Okay.
Mm.
Well, anyone from your Panthers team you reckon would be a name that people may forget to put in the 17? Probably hard for you, knowing them so well, but...
Yeah.
Luke Swain. Yeah.
Shane Rodney went on to win two grand finals. One with Manly, so did Joe Nullivow.
Did you hear? Badge likes to do these brain busts. I'll give you this one for nothing.
Okay.
So, Panthers have been in 5 grand finals.
Yep.
Right? One player only has played in 3. Do you know who that player is?
One player only has
played in... Yeah, one player only has played in 3.
Freddie.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because one of them's with...
1990.
Yeah, you played in the grand final, but not for them.
I got billeted in 1989 with Freddie.
Did you?
At the Australian Schoolboys tournament, Queensland, New South Wales, and he was Catholics 5'8".
Yeah.
Julian O'Neill was the Queensland 5'8". And for the state high schools was the 5'8" that played some time at Balmain called the name of Paul Davies.
Right.
Remember him?
Yes,
big 5'8".
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where was he from, Paul?
Maxville High, Kempsey.
Was he?
Went to school with Wayne Bart from those guys. And I got billeted with Freddie, and I was a kid from the Gold Coast. I thought I was really laid back and cool. he just took it to another level.
Oh.
He was just, he's on another planet.
As far as being chilled.
Just chilled, yeah.
Wow.
And to watch that 5/8 battle over 5 days.
Did you know he was a star then?
I'd heard about him.
So you knew about him before meeting him?
Heard about him because of the Commonwealth Bank Cup.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, the best schoolboy team. And so I'd watch him for MacArthur. And Benny Alexander was part of that team as well. And we knew he was something special. And then to watch him, Paul Davies and Davis and also Julian O'Neill just go toe-to-toe was amazing. And then he got the 5/8 position. Jason Taylor was the halfback. Ainsco was the fullback.
Wow.
And Julian O'Neill they picked in the centres. And Paul Davis, who was probably the best 5/8 over the carnival, missed out.
Missed out.
Altogether, yeah.
I tell you, I played my first... Very first team was the Penrith Waratahs, right? And they're based at Jamison Park, which is just down the road from Penrith Park. Anyway, a mate of mine, for whatever reason, his older brother was not playing at the same club where they didn't have a team or whatever the case may be, but he was playing for Cambridge Park. He said, oh, do you want to come and we'll be ball boys for my brother's team? So I said, yeah, yeah. So we go there and I'm hearing the stories about this team. You know, they haven't lost in 8 years, not lost a game, you know. And we get out there. And we're ball boy and we're watching it and they're trailing 10-0. They're playing at Blacktown against Blacktown City. It's 10-0 and there's 3 minutes to go and the trainer runs on. He says, we've got them. We've got them. They've never been beaten. You know, we've finally got them, right? And then all of a sudden, bang, chip and chase. This kid scores under the post, scores in the corner, kicks from the sideline. Brad Fittler, 12 points to 10. Cambridge Park defeat Blacktown City. And that was the very first time I'd met Brad Fittler.
You know,
just a star.
I remember a few weeks after that Australian Schoolboys Carnival, sitting back watching the old ABC Channel 2 Saturday afternoon game. Yeah. Penrith playing Wests at Wests.
Yeah.
And this kid comes on with jersey number 41. And I went, that's the kid I was billeted with. Chipped over the top and debut scores an amazing try. Just a freak.
Wow. Absolute freak. So if there's an island over there, which is a mortal island, right? Mm. There's only 13 on it. And 13, 14? 13 or 14?
14.
14.
13.
13, yeah. Mal's 13.
Mal's 13.
Mal's 13. And they're all over there on a mortal island.
Yep.
And there's a boat with many contenders. And you can only fit sort of five or six to think about on the little rubber ducky to get them over to the island. Who's in the mix to go on the rubber ducky? Is Billy Slater?
Bobby Irvine. Kenny Irvine.
Kenny Irvine.
Ron Coote.
So where's Brad Fittler and Ricky Stewart and Alan Langer and all these people in this conversation?
I'm going to go Ken Irvine, Ron Coote, Glenn Lazarus.
Yeah.
Right now. Okay, and then I'm saying I'm going Alan Langer.
So forget about Cameron Smith, right? We know he's on his way to Immortal Island.
JT will be as well.
Let us know as listeners who is the next two behind him. You know, I've got to have Billy Slater there. I think Billy Slater – where does Billy Slater compare to Jonathan Thurston? You know, that's such – they're big questions, aren't they?
Mm. I reckon Glenn Lazarus will be the next one. I think he'll be the 14th.
Do you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Can you get odds on that now?
Premierships at three different clubs.
Yep.
Okay, that's big. Mm. That's very big. Back to last night, though, boys. The Seagulls are now in eighth position. Only one win separates seventh and 11th on the NRL ladder. It is game on.
Yeah.
It is game on.
If you can put five wins together, I think you play finals from this point on. If you can put five wins together, it doesn't matter against what opposition, you play finals.
Yeah.
Out of that list that Tommy's put together from us from fourth to 11th.
Craig Bellamy, quite disappointed on the performance. He knows that he didn't have Munster. And well, anyway, let's hear from Craig himself.
We don't sort of think, oh, yeah, we're going to go this week. Or, you know, we just expect everyone to turn up and do their job the best they can. And, you know, some weeks, you know, that seem to find out hard or that doesn't get done. But, you know, I just didn't think we had any energy, had any intent tonight, you know, which was really disappointing. As I said, you know, we can make excuses if we want, but at the end of the day, it's, you know, if you put your hand up to play, well, you know, you need to play well.
Maybe an experience gap there in terms of Foran and DC being probably the two best players on the field, and obviously you're missing a few of your older guys and you've got a couple of newer boys in there.
We can sort of make that as an excuse, but at the end of the day, we expect everyone of our 17 to put effort in, especially defensively, and I didn't think that happened tonight.
Disappointed, Craig, there's no doubt about that. Are we going to see this week, is this a bit of a clue looking into this week, that not just having played in these rep games, but the emotion that goes with it, the travel that goes with it, the lack of being in the training camp and the routine at your club, are we going to see this type of performance from other big teams?
Just flat.
Yeah, we just flatten off and just out of sync.
I'm interested to see what happens with Penrith tonight, Sugar.
That's what I mean.
Because no, not with being flat. Now that Melbourne lost last night, they're two wins ahead of Melbourne.
Yeah.
Do they go rest a few of them?
Well, or he thinks, you know what, boys, let's go checkmate it this week, and then I'll start to...
Tommy's crossing his fingers over here. He wants Penrith to rest
Please, Nathan, Isaiah, just take a night off. You don't need it, boys. Take a night off. Put the feet up. You did enough for your state. You don't need to play for Penrith
tonight. I've got a theory, boys. I've got a theory, a strong theory, right? So the Penrith Panthers have lost just four games since the start of 2020 when they've had Yeo, Cleary, Luai and Appy together.
Yep.
Four games since the start of 2020, right? And my theory is this. Cleary loves to control. So with Appy, he's not darting off the dummy half and taking off like a lunatic. He's just sitting there. Where do you want to go, Nathan? He tells his little lies in the dummy half, and away they go and they function. The four games, so he averages about five runs a game, Appy. Mm-hmm. The four games where they lost, they were by no more than 6 points, either of them. Appy ran for like eight or so runs a game. So I reckon it's clear he just wants to say, just charge up the field. Don't worry about running too much from dummy half. They won the other day. There was only five dummy half runs from the new, both Cook and Appy.
Yep.
So I think that suits Cleary's game. He gets me into the match.
You know, well, your minute by minute propaganda around Appy Coruscant making Origin, it worked.
Yeah, it did.
Hey,
it did. And I think it was for me. It
and
was
you,
more
what
about
your text to me when you said, "I told you so"?
Sunday night. I did not. I did not. Oh, please, please, please. I should have. 1300 01 1170. Hey, gents, Kevin Campion, 2000 Broncos Grand Final team. Super tough. Yeah. Underrated. Extra points for knocking out Shane Webke. Mickey from Mascot. Kevin Campion. You were telling me about Kevin Campion earlier on.
Yeah, we got graded, myself, him and Jamie Goddard, all at the Gold Coast Seagulls. He went down and trialled with Western Suburbs, and he's on his way home. He caught a bus from Serena to Western Suburbs, which is Mackay, which is central Queensland, in north of Queensland. And he caught a bus down and then he trialled with Western Suburbs, was on his way back up and just stopped in at the Gold Coast. And Grant Bell, the 21s coach then, said, why don't you just hang around and do a train and trial here as well? And he got graded at the Gold Coast and played first grade the next year in 93. And then I interviewed him during the week for a show we do in an SENQ, the launch of SENQ today, 693. Very exciting. And for a show we do called Origin Legends Untold Stories, the guys that played sort of four or five games, you never hear about them. Their road to Origin, junior clubs. And he told a story about the 2002 Grand Final, which he was at the Warriors, played the Roosters. And everyone says, oh, Richard Villasani knocking out
Freddie,
that was the turning point. He told a story about the turning point being at halftime, 6-2.
Yep.
And he said, I was really filthy with the way we were playing. But we came in, we sat down, everyone got ready. Then you're waiting for the coach to address the team. And Daniel Anderson, the coach, just walked out. And as he walked out, he nodded at the footy manager or something. The footy manager pushed a button on the cassette tape and it played this mock commentary of the Warriors in a grand final scoring a match-winning try to win the grand final.
Wow.
And he said, and all the players were up cheering and high-fiving and thinking that we'd won the game at halftime. And he went over and picked up the cassette recorder, threw it against the wall, smashed it into pieces. And he said, we lost the grand final at halftime.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
Never heard the story before.
No. What a player. And I saw him. He'll be over there for this big game on Sunday.
Yeah.
He's super fit still, isn't he?
He is, yeah. Does a lot of running and boxing. It helps out Stacey Jones now. And interesting, I said to him during the week, who should New Zealand, and he made a really good point, who should New Zealand appoint as the Warriors coach?
Yeah.
He said, the team is going home for the first time in 2.5 years for 2023. You can't have anyone other than a Kiwi.
Yeah.
He said, you've got to get that emotional attachment to the community straight away. So he said, I think they should give it to Stacey for 12 months. And let's just assess it as we go.
There you go. Kevin Campion, 1300 01 1170. Plenty of callers there. We'll kick off with Pedro on the other side of this.